Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 9 June 2026, Zechariah.
Well, Vacation Bible School is going great. You keep praying that God will use VBS to bring many sons into glory. It's absolutely fantastic. The team is doing well. It's what I expect. Believers that grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that have the virtue love brought to completion in their heart, that have the royal family honor code manifested among themselves as well as everybody else. It's beautiful to see. You don't see that very often among believers in churches around the country. But it's going absolutely fantastic. The kids are having a great time, but pray that God will use this to bring many of those children into glory. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is from the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. The danger has not passed. Some say the worst is over. Yes, some of Israel's enemies have been weakened. Some battle fronts may be quieter than before. But anyone who knows the Bible and is paying attention understands that this is not the last time Israel will be challenged. The Jewish people remain in danger, not only in Israel, but all around the world. The tragic attack during Hanukkah at Bondi Beach in Australia made that painfully clear. In a place that should have felt festive and safe, violent hatred resurfaced, and it reminded us of a sobering truth. Anti-Semitism is not fading. anti-Semitism is spreading. During Operation Epic Fury, the Blue Square Alliance tracked more than 4 million anti-Semitic conspiracy theory social media posts online in just the first week of the conflict. And that generated more than 1 billion views. 1 billion views globally. According to the Alliance report from April 15, 2026. That escalation in anti-Semitic content is visible not just in volume, but in severity. Dehumanizing language surged in the opening days of the conflict and remained elevated throughout, with a 668% increase, 668% increase of posts comparing Jews, Israelis, and Zionists to animals and insects since the start of the war. At the same time, the report identifies a growing trend in which the word Jew is now used as a slur against non-Jews, deployed to discredit individuals without engaging their views. What we are witnessing is not merely disagreement over policy or debate over Zionism. At its very root, this is pure hatred directed at the Jewish people themselves. And as our world becomes increasingly secular, turning its back on God and the Word of God, and even basic moral truth, that ancient hatred finds more room to grow. Scripture should not surprise us here. Those who reject the God of Israel will inevitably oppose what he loves and what he has chosen. Because Israel has always stood at the center of God's plan, it will always face the rage of those who oppose him. And that is why this moment requires more sympathy, vigilance, and biblical clarity. This season requires courage for faithful Christians like you to stand up and to stand with the Jewish people. Zechariah chapter 7. Ritual without reality is meaningless, it's worthless, it's totally useless. We're going to meet some exiles from Babylon. They were born in Babylon and even have names, Babylonian names. And then they left Babylon and came to a city 14 miles north of Jerusalem, Bethel. These people were from Bethel. And they returned to Bethel. And they have been fasting. Just the opposite. I've been slowing, and they've been fasting. And it's all ritual without reality. And the Lord, the God of Israel, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, is going to kick them in the butt. What are you doing? You're involved in nothing but ritual without reality. You should have been listening to what Jeremiah taught before the fifth cycle of national discipline was administered by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. You should have been listening to Jeremiah instead of hating Jeremiah. You should have been listening to Hosea. You should have been listening to Isaiah. But the reason why your forefathers went into the fifth cycle of discipline and were exiles in Babylon was because they didn't listen to God's. These are great prophets, great communicators of the Word of God, who had the courage to proclaim the absolute truth to a people who had turned away from God and His Word, like we're doing in America. At the time of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, the nation Israel was in apostasy and degeneracy. And they kept getting worse and worse and worse, like we are. And finally, the fifth cycle of discipline occurred. No, it wasn't Jeremiah's fault. Jeremiah did exactly what God sent him to do. And Jeremiah sat up on the hillside and wept, watching Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army come down and slaughter the Jewish people. Totally destroy Jerusalem. Totally destroy the Solomon's temple. And the few survivors, he watched them and their death march back to Babylon. Jeremiah being the... And Nebuchadnezzar knew Jeremiah was up there. Nebuchadnezzar didn't touch Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wrote not only Jeremiah, but Lamentations. And I love Lamentations written by Jeremiah. And we sing a hymn, fantastic hymn, one of my favorite hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And that hymn is based on Lamentations, written by Jeremiah. When he saw Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans coming, he said, we deserve everything. We deserve absolutely everything. And if that happens to America, I'm going to be saying the exact same thing. We deserve it, absolutely. We're a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. We've turned away from God, turned away from the Word of God. What we are seeing in this country, there is no virtue. There is no honor. There is no integrity. There is no virtue love. Instead, there is nothing but murder, assassinations, criminal activity, crime everywhere, hatred, no respect for the President of the United States. Romans 13 teaches the truth of establishment to respect the authority. That authority is put there by God. You respect Him. There is no respect in our country for our president. Hatred, 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 hatred. And they want to kill him. All over America. Well, that's the same thing they did with Jeremiah. And God is going to have to give these people from Bethel, this delegation that came down from Bethel, he's going to give them a warning, very severe warning. You're doing the same thing that your forefathers did when they were removed under the fifth cycle of national discipline. You have no real spiritual life. You have no spiritual life. All you have is ritual, religion. There's no power in ritual and religion. Ritual without reality is totally meaningless. So when we start out on this thing, you're going to think, well, this is kind of a great delegation coming down here. And they coming down was sounding like, well, we came down to talk to the prophets and the priests and find out some things. Well, they did find out some things. They found out from Zechariah. Here's the message, four messages from Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. He has four messages for you. And it wasn't what they were expecting to hear. He, the Lord, told them, you're doing the same thing your forefathers did. And you keep thinking like that, you're gone. You'll be gone again under the fifth cycle of discipline. So I'm looking forward to teaching. I'm not fasting. I am slowing, but I'm not fasting. And we noted by way of introduction that a delegation from Bethel, and Bethel comes from construct of Baith. Baith is the word for house. El is the word for God. Bethel is the house of God. A delegation from Bethel arrived in Jerusalem to seek counsel from priests and prophets concerning fasting. They asked whether the annual fast commemorating the destruction of Solomon's temple should be continued, since the rebuilt temple was well on its way to completion in Zechariah's day. Some of the people were growing weary of keeping this fast. And wait till I go in and show what they were doing. First of all, I'll save it. Some of these people were growing weary of keeping this fast, as well as several other fasts that they had instituted while they were exiled in Babylon. These fasts had become burdensome rituals, devoid of spiritual significance. And therefore, in Zechariah chapter 7 and 8, God addresses the delegation's question on fasting. God addresses it. Zechariah prescribed God's answer, or he presented God's answer, the Lord of the armies' answer, the Lord Almighty's answer, in four messages. And God told the Bethel delegation what it needed to hear, not what it expected to hear. He gave them a severe warning. Wake up. And each message was introduced with the form of the phrase, the word of Jehovah Tsevaoth came to me saying, the word of the Lord of the armies came to me saying, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me saying. And message number one, Zechariah 7 verse 4. Message number two, Zechariah 7 verse 8. Message number three, Zechariah 8 verse 1. Message number four, Zechariah 8 verse 18. So, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, gave his answer in four messages. So we start out Zechariah 7, 1 through 3, the request by the people. First of all, Zechariah provided the date when he received the four messages from Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. Zechariah 7 verse 1, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius. We have the conjunction vav, prefix of the Cal imperfect of Hayah, the Hebrew to be verb, plus the preposition base, prefix to the construct of Shana, plus the numeral Arba, plus the preposition Lamath, prefix to the proper noun Daryavesh, plus the noun Melech with the definite article. Well, the conjunction Vav is a transitional Vav and is correctly translated then, but it also, as it does many times, not all the time, but many times in the Hebrew, and this is totally unique to Hebrew, it is a conversive Vav. And the conversive Vav converts here the imperfect of the to-be verb Hayah into a perfect. And then we have the Hebrew to-be verb Hayah. H-A-Y-A-H. Hayah, the Hebrew to-be verb. And Hayah means, literally, it means to fall out, it means to come to pass, it means to become, it means to be. Very often, Hayah means to come about. And with the conversive vav, which is what we have, you translate it, came about. And then we have Bishnat Erba, and Bishnat Erba, there's preposition bath in the fourth year. In the fourth year, and then we have Ladaryavesh Hamelech, that's Darius, the king, or of the king Darius. So the corrected translation. Then it came about in the fourth year of King Darius. Came about in the fourth year of King Darius. Now, the fourth year of King Darius is 518 B.C. 518 B.C. And then we have that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah. We have the cal perfect of the verb Hayah. Once again, this time it's in the perfect tense. And translated correctly, came. And then the construct of the noun davar. Davar is the Hebrew word for word. Joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton, Jehovah. And so the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah came. And then the preposition el, which means to, joined by a makef to the proper noun Zechariah, to Zechariah. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah. And then we have in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Kislev. And this is the preposition bath prefix to the numeral Erba, plus the preposition Lamath prefix to the noun Kodesh, plus the numeral Taishi, plus with a definite article, plus the preposition baith, prefixed to the proper noun Kislev. All right, well, we have the preposition baith in or on. Here it's on, and then erba'ah, on the fourth day. On the fourth day. And then we have lakodesh ha'ishi'i. Lakodesh ha'ishi'i. All right, let's get a couple of points. One. See, a lot of you don't know what to do if I don't say one. See. One. C-H-O-D-E-S-H. Kodesh. And Kodesh means new moon. And new moon is the word for month. Month, and then point two, we have Tishi'i. Tishi'i. That's T-I. Excuse me, T Shiva S H I I N I Tishi'i. And that's the numeral ninth. So on the fourth day of the ninth month, point three, Kislev is the Hebrew name of the ninth month. It's called Kislev. Four, the fourth day of the ninth month, Kislev, is 4 December, 518 B.C. 4 December, 518 B.C. Five, the prophet Zechariah received this revelation on December 4th, 518 B.C., 22 months after receiving the eight night visions we studied in Zechariah 1, verse 7. So the prophet Zechariah received this revelation on December 4th, 518 B.C., 22 months after receiving the eight night visions. So the corrected translation of verse 1. Then it came about in the fourth year of King Darius, 518 B.C., the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Kislev. All right, now verse 2. When they had sent unto the house of God Sharezer and Regem-Melech. Now, we always start with the King James, and this is not a good translation at all here. It sounds like this delegation is going to the house of God in Jerusalem, the way it's translated here in the King James, but that's totally, totally false and wrong. They are a delegation from Bethel, a city Bethel. This is a city. Not there. In the King James, it looks like this is the temple in Jerusalem. No, this is the city Bethel, 14 miles north of Jerusalem, and the delegation's going from Bethel to Jerusalem. So it's just the opposite of what it says in the King James. So that's not a good translation. We have the proper noun Beth El, plus the conjunction Vav, prefix to the Kal imperfect of Shalak, plus the proper noun Saritzer, plus the conjunction Vav, prefix to the proper noun Regem-Melech. All right, well, let's take a look at Bethel. That's B. And this is the construct form of Baith. Baith is the word house. This is the construct form of house. So this is B, E, and that's long E, T, H. Then you have a makef, and then Aleph, E, L. So we have the construct of the noun Baith. Baith actually looks like this. That's B-A-Y-I-T-H. That's the word house. The construct form is Baith, the house of El God, Beth-El. So literally it does mean Beth-El. So, one, Bethel is the town. In our verse, it's a town, Bethel. It's not the temple. It's not the house of God being built in Jerusalem. Rather, this is the town, Bethel. So in Zechariah 7:2, Bethel is the town, not the temple, not the house of God being built in Jerusalem. Two, Bethel literally means the house of God. Baith El, the house of God. Three, Bethel is a town located, I think I've been saying 14 miles, it's 12 miles. 12 miles north of Jerusalem. 12 miles north of Jerusalem. Four, it was here at Bethel that Abraham encamped. There's a lot of great history, spiritual history of this city, Bethel. It was here at Bethel that Abraham encamped, and we'll look at some of that history. Turn over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1, and in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 20, we have the call of Abram. Verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And that land is, well, it'll be Israel. It's at the time Canaan. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. This is the Abrahamic covenant given to Abram. Here's the Abrahamic covenant. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Blessing in the millennial kingdom to the whole world. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, anti-Semitism, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And at this time, he's a Gentile. He hasn't become the first Jew until he's 99. So at this point, he's a Gentile. 75 years old, and when he set out from Haran, he took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." This is a part of the Abrahamic covenant. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Bethel, this city, has a fantastic heritage going back to Abraham. And also, as long as we're here, look at chapter 13. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. And from the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. So this city has a great spiritual heritage. Abram, it was here at Bethel that Abraham camped. 5. It received the name Bethel, house of God, because of its nearness to, or being the very place where Jacob, and it, the Lord Jesus Christ is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them born again believers through regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ. So it received the name Bethel, house of God, because of its nearness to, or being the very place where Jacob received his dream from God. So turn over to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 10. Genesis 28, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream. Now, this is where God's communicating truth to him through dreams. God doesn't communicate truth to you through dreams today, or to me either. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac." Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, "I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." This is the Abrahamic covenant being continued on through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely. And then God says, don't call me surely, you know. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey that I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. So what a spiritual heritage to this city, Bethel. The verb shalak is the verb that means to send. The conjunction vav is the transitional vav, correctly translated now. And the verb vav, rather, is also a conversive verb, converting the imperfect of the verb shalak into a perfect. So you translate it, now Bethel had sent. Now Bethel, the city of Bethel, had sent. And then we have two people here singled out, Saritzer and Regemmelech. The first one is the proper noun, Saritzer. That's S-A-R, Aleph, E-T-S-E-R, Saritzer. And, that's how it actually looks in the Hebrew. That's Sharizer here, okay? And then the other delegate that's mentioned, the proper noun, Regemmelech. R-E-G-E-M-M-E-L-E-K. Regemmelech. Now Bethel, the city Bethel, had sent Sharezer and Regemmelech. That's not all, but those are the two, top two, Sharezer and Regemmelech. And then an entire delegation went with them, and the delegation is presented next, and their men, that's the rest of the delegation, to pray before the Lord. We have the conjunction vav prefix to the noun enosh with the third person plural masculine suffix, plus the PL infinitive construct of kala, plus the direct object marker eth, joined by a makef to the plural construct of paneh, plus the tetragrammaton. The vav is a connective vav translated and. And then we have Enosh. Enosh. Aleph, A-N-O-S-H. Enosh. Enosh is the word man in the plural, men or mankind. Third person plural masculine suffix. And their men, that's the rest of the delegation, so we can translate it, and a delegation. While they were there, this delegation was to make some inquiries. And these inquiries are recorded in verse 3. And then we have the verb kala. C-H-A-L-A-H, kala. All right, a couple of things on the verb kala. One, literally, kala means to mollify. You know what that means? To pacify. You know what that means? To appease. That's literally. Literally, it means to mollify, to pacify, to appease. Point two. And it's combined with pane and the tetragrammaton. So that's P, Shiva, N, long E. That's the face of, and then the tetragrammaton. Jehovah. Pane Jehovah, the face of the Lord. So this literally says, with the verb kala, to soften the face of the Lord, to kala with Pane Jehovah, to soften the face of the Lord, to mollify the face of the Lord, to appease the face of the Lord. That's literally. That's literally exactly what that says. To soften the face of the Lord, to mollify the face of the Lord, to appease the face of the Lord. Three. This is an idiom, a Hebrew idiom that means to entreat the favor of the Lord, to entreat the favor of the Lord, to worship the Lord, to pray to the Lord. So this is a Hebrew idiom. Kala Pane Jehovah. To entreat the favor of the Lord, and that's how we're going to translate it, to entreat the favor of the Lord. Point four. The verb kala is only in the PAL stem. And the PAL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. And that tells us a lot. That means, point five, this is intensive prayer and worship of the Lord in Jerusalem. Intensive prayer and worship of the Lord in Jerusalem. So the corrected translation. Now Bethel, the city Bethel, 12 miles north of Jerusalem, had sent Sherezer and Regemmelech together with their men, a special delegation, to entreat the favor of the Lord. Now Bethel had sent Sherezer and Regemmelech together with a special delegation to entreat the favor of the Lord. One. The King James Version and the New King James Version, both of them terribly translated Bethel, literally the house of God. Referring to the temple in Jerusalem. So the King James and New King James Version both terribly translated Bethel, literally the house of God, referring to the temple in Jerusalem, too. However, Bethel does not refer to the temple under construction at the time of Zechariah's prophecy. However, Bethel does not refer to the temple under construction at the time of Zechariah's prophecy. 3, the proper translation is Bethel referring to the city 12 miles north of Jerusalem. The proper translation is Bethel referring to the city 12 miles north of Jerusalem. Or, Bethel was an ancient capital of the northern kingdom. It was an ancient capital of the northern kingdom. Five, it was also the seat of idolatrous worship prior to their fall at the fifth cycle of national discipline. It was also the seat of idolatrous worship prior to its fall, the fifth cycle of national discipline. Six, Sherezer and Regemmelech are both Babylonian names. Sherezer and Regemmelech are both Babylonian names, indicating these two men were born during Judah's exile in Babylon. Indicating these two men were born during Judah's exile in Babylon. The 70 years following Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army's administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. 7, many Jewish people, including the prophet Daniel, received Babylonian names while they were in exile. Many Jewish people, including the prophet Daniel, received Babylonian names while they were in exile. 8, Sherezer and Regemmelech joined the returnees from Babylon to rebuild the city of Bethel. Sherezer and Regemmelech joined the returnees from Babylon to rebuild the city of Bethel. Turn over to Ezra. Ezra chapter 2. Ezra chapter 2. First of all, some of these names, it's a lot of fun here. Now these are the people of the province who came up from the captivity of the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken captive to Babylon. They returned to Jerusalem and to Judah, each to his own town, in company with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Realeah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Big Vi, Rehum, and Bana. Now look down at verse 21. Now you see the families are all here. The list of the men of the people of Israel from each of these cities. And in verse 21, verse 28, men of the city of Beth-El and Ai. There were 223 of them. Verse 28, the men of Beth-El and Ai. So Sherezer and Regemmelech joined the returnees from Babylon to rebuild the city of Beth-El. Now, in verse 3, the inquiries of Sherezer, Regemmelech, and this delegation are now recorded in Zechariah 7, verse 3. We have the cal infinitive construct of amer, plus the preposition el, joined by a makef to the plural of the noun Kohen with the definite article, plus the relative pronoun asher, plus the preposition lam with prefix to the construct of bayith, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton once again, plus tsevaoth, the plural of tsava, armies, the conjunction vav prefix to the preposition el, joined by a makef to the plural of the noun navi, Nevi'im with the definite article, plus the cal infinitive construct of Amer repeated. So Amer literally means to say or to speak. Figuratively, it's used to make an inquiry, and that's how it's used here, to ask. So you translate it to ask, to inquire, by speaking. By speaking to the priests. And that's El HaKohenim, to the priests. By speaking to the priests, and then the relative pronoun Asher, who, and then Labeth Jehovah Tsevaoth, who belong to the house of the Lord of the armies, who belong to the house of the Lord Almighty, Labeth Jehovah Tsevaoth. And then Ve'el Hanevi'im, and to the priest, Navi priest, Nevi'im priest, and to the priest. And then Amer is repeated saying. So, corrected translation. By speaking to the priests who belong to the house of the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, and to the prophets saying. And then we have, should I weep? Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? In other words, Sherezer and Regemmelech said, I've had it up to here with this fasting crap. I just need to talk to somebody to say, I can't see doing this anymore. And so they down there talk to Zechariah. Zechariah gets a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells them not what they are expecting to hear, but what they needed to hear. And he's going to nail them on this ritual without reality. So let's take a look at this again. Verse 3. By speaking to the priests who belong to the house of the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, and to the prophets, saying, and if we finish the verse, should I mourn? Should I mourn in the fifth month and fast as I have done now for so many years? That's okay. That's a great question. And God says to Zechariah, I'll take it from here. I'll give him the answer. All right, we'll take it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.